now listening to Busto Pelle 96.6 FM. We're now live at Rag Festival, and we're gonna change the stuff. We're now Álvaro and Pepa. We're now presenting from the U-Edit from Spain, and we're going to talk about one of the workshops that has been taken inside the festival, and this has been a workshop in English about media literacy. And we're going to talk with the makers in the European project UMAC, and they are Karsten and Sally. So good afternoon for you.
Hello.
Hello.
So before starting, I think it's important for the people who are listening to know what's the meaning of media literacy. Both of you?
They are elbowing.
They are trying to keep the microphone. Both wants to answer. They are fighting for the microphone.
Yeah, well, Sally answered that before in the workshop, so maybe it's my turn again, but I can't remember what you really said about that. What is media literacy? I think it has to do something with how media work and how we make media work, how we perceive it, how we understand how the process behind it are. Something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you. But you can add anything you like, you know, Sally.
Yeah, it's about understanding media, basically, which is the name of the project. So it's very much involves the to be able not only to access information, but also to analyze it, to evaluate what is interesting to you from that media, from the information you're receiving. And then the last step will be to produce your own media product. And usually that only happens if you have community media or free media around you.
And how long has been the project going on? Can you talk a little bit about the project?
Well, the project has been running since 2015. My God, it's rain. It's really raining. Just in case you hear the noise, it's the rain. It has been running since 2014, actually. And it's coming to an end. This is our last meeting. So we have created a toolbox, which is basically a resource for trainers online, where people who has an interest in delivering the media literacy training can go and use the activities. The toolbox is in 6 languages at the moment, so Czech, Hungarian, German, French, I always keep forgetting one. English.
Yes, that's true.
And it's going to be also in Basque soon enough. And I think we are going to go to Spanish too. So, and it's also a self-learning tool. So if you don't have the time to go and get the training, maybe you can go visit the tool and do the exercises by yourself.
Okay. We also have here with us Eloy, who attends the workshop.
Hello.
Hello, Eloy.
Hello.
Can you tell us what was the workshop about, and maybe describe some of their activities and the results you found after them?
Well, it was a very interesting workshop because I teach the Spanish youth some of radio and media production, and this gives us very useful tools to make people understand how we have to look at to the medias. And during the workshop we have seen many different kind of videos that shows how, with some information that you give and how you give it, change absolutely the content.
For
of the
example,
thing.
Can you tell about one of the videos we have seen?
Well, they are part of the activities to learn, so maybe it's better to go to the web and try oneself. Maybe they can say the website, because everybody can improve their own media literacy knowledge with that activity. So I think the best thing is to do it, just do it.
So why do you think it's important nowadays, media literacy? Do we live in a kind of an alphabet media society? Do you think that? Or?
Well, with so many media around us, we are constantly not only victims, but makers of media. Everybody's active on social media. Everybody's reading, listening, watching all the time. And with that, it is important to know how these media work, how they change our mind, or how our intentions may change the content of things that we see, or may change the interpretation of the things that we perceive, that somebody shows us, or that we forward on to somebody else. So that's pretty important to get to raise that kind of awareness in everybody, to know there's no absolute truth. It's always just there's perspectives on an event, there's perspectives on people, on what they say and what is happening. And we have to, well, the good thing is in this media society we get lots of perspectives about the same event, so we can take a step closer to the truth, probably. But we cannot only trust one voice anymore. We should have never trusted one voice at all.
So this project, as Jeff said, it has taken part since 2014. So when was the start point? When was the start of the research going on?
Well, the project that really... The current project started in 2014, but previously, in the 2 years before, we have done a project in which we examined the different training that the partners were delivering to people who wanted to produce community media, community radio in this case. And we found that really one of the key elements was not only how to do it from a physical point of view, but also the kind of, if you want to call it, psychological or dialectic approach. So it's very much to examine what we did initially was just to try to define a little bit what was the objective of the tool, what we wanted to deliver, really, what we were expecting from it. Then the toolbox, we started assemble different activities, and we actually practiced some of the activities among ourselves. And then the tool was designed by Busebele, and we just uploaded the activities. So initially they were all uploaded in English, and then everyone translated into their own languages. And whoever downloaded an activity in Hungarian or German, then they have to translate it to English to facilitate the other partners to translate it to. So currently I think there is about 12 activities in English, and then a minimum of 10 in each of the other languages. But obviously we don't think the project is coming to an end, but that's not the end of the toolbox. It's going to be online, and the plan is to keep actually feeding it, uploading more activities, adding more languages, as community radio practitioners may decide to translate the activities in their own language. So hopefully it will be organic. It's a resource for everyone, and we want to keep it alive and very much up to date.
So have you got some, apart from the feedback of the people translating it, actually, have you got any feedback or any people from outside the project giving you some extra information or helping you to develop the toolbox?
A week ago in Ireland, we have a meeting of all the community radios in Ireland. We come together for 1 day of training and networking, and one of the workshops was on media literacy. So I introduced the workshop and I did one of the exercises. Not in the same way we did today, that it was an exercise for learners, but we explained how it worked for trainers, from a trainer's point of view. And the reception was excellent. Like, everyone decided they wanted to use it, because the exercises are not only about media literacy. You can introduce the media literacy element in what is the journalistic skills, in the editing, etc., etc. So there is a different kind of perspective or cross-cutting element, which is media literacy, that goes throughout the training. So the reception was very good. In fact, we have two representatives from LIRGAS, which is the Irish National Agency in Ireland, because the project is funded under the Erasmus Plus funding. And one of the things that they came afterwards, they were quite happy with it, and now they have invited us to disseminate and publicize the work we have done in the project through EPALE, which is the European platform for adult learning in Europe, that basically have 12,000 members across Europe, which is obviously a good opportunity to reach outside what is community media and get to other sectors and other groups that are working also maybe with community groups, and that I think they could use the tools also to make them more aware of how sometimes the media message is manipulated.
Yeah. Also, in these times, because of the technology that we can afford, there is a kind of new journalist that is growing, the citizen journalist, that nowadays is covering maybe that parts of the reality that other media cannot access to that. What's your opinion about that? Because there are a lot of journalists that thought that it's not good that people that aren't professional to telling a lot of people what they see without a formation. So what's your point of view about this?
Well, talking about professionalism in journalism, of course there are some things that everybody who talks to somebody has in mind, because they have their own intention of telling a story, of telling something. It's a good addition to the already existing media landscape that we have with all the professionals, because the professionals, they have their own way of doing things. They have their own sources, of course, and nobody says that they are doing a bad job, but the different perspectives that come in with everybody who can report about an event or an incident or something like that, that makes it easier to judge for oneself the news message that I read maybe in a newspaper, that I hear on the radio, that I see on television, and then I compare it to the blogs or to whatever's on social media, and I can get a better picture of what might have really happened.
But we have to recognize one important thing. If we don't believe that media is telling the whole truth, we have to also recognize that people writing in social media is not telling the whole truth. They are telling their perspective in an event. So really, the important thing is not to trust only one source. Get your information from the different sources. What is the public service telling us? What is the commercial telling us? What is the social media telling us? And then make your mind. Because the important thing is that you don't believe what one person tells you and live your life accordingly. I think the important thing is to learn from the different approaches and then make your mind with all the possible information.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I got just one more question to end the interview. Have you tried this kind of workshop with kids, with non-adult people, and how they react that kind of to courses?
Do you mean have we tried that before, or
if you have done the workshop with children, and how has it going? Have you tried to do this type of workshop with children?
With children?
With having access?
I haven't. No. Sorry. Do you have
but
to work
no.
with children?
And in this case, would it be possible to apply this type of media literacy into children,
which are not really as
manipulated
but
as
probably
we are?
You will have to adapt the activity, because obviously some the images we use are very much current affairs, and maybe children won't be used to that kind of information. Or the trailers that we use on the videos that we use also, maybe they are not the right things for children. However, they are on the online, there are the actually videos that you can use for children where they can compare what films are telling them. For example, as an example, Frozen. And then on the other hand, you have a video saying what would be the story if Frozen was done following common sense. Okay, so you can present both perspectives, but I think it's very important that really media literacy, or what is called media analysis, is introduced as soon as possible in the educational curriculum, mostly because children are accessing information and social media when they are younger and younger, and they don't have a filter really to know what is true and what is not. So it's really affecting their lives and their perspectives.
So if anyone is interested in the project, where they can find this information?
Okay, the website is toolbox, so that's spelled toolbox.understanding-media.eu. But also they can go to the website of Boussevelle or the understanding-media.org, and there is a link there.
So thank you very much for the time. And we're going back to one of the stages live at the festival. Or well, we better